Hey everybody, welcome to episode 23 of Security Nation. I'm Kyle Flaherty. I'm here with Rachel Adam. She's going to help me with the intro.
What am I going to say?
We're going to intro who I was just talking to. Do you know who was in the room?
I believe it was Matt Hathaway and Eric Sun.
And I had someone on Skype.
Oh.
Guess who it was?
Miranda.
Close. Now she's going to be mad at me because she's not in Security Nation. Another presenter in our booth at RSA. That was the topic.
Was it Todd Beardsley?
It was not. Now Todd Beardsley's going to be mad at me. This
was
is the worst.
No. Nate Palinoff.
It was Nate Palinoff, the last person you would think of who should be on a podcast.
I think Nate is perfect.
Nate's perfect too.
Voice carries really well.
Well, and he had some awesome points. He talked a little bit about things that he loved at RSA, things that were annoying, all of those things. What was one thing at RSA that you were surprised to see?
I feel like I saw people more engaged on the show floor than I had in past years.
Interesting.
I think I saw people stopping at booths to actually take in what was going on. I mean, obviously I spent most time outside of our booth, so like that's where I saw it most, and we had those awesome videos that the team did or on pentesters and their stories, so that may be part of my bias. But I saw a little bit more engagement than I did.
Yeah, we talked a lot about how it felt a little more pragmatic. Even in the face of like all the FUD and all the like noise and all that stuff, people seem to be actually engaging more.
But you saw more extremes too, right? Like some of the slogans for those organizations were making such outlandish.
Those definitely came up.
Outlandish claims.
Yes.
But I think to your point, I think you saw a lot more pragmatism as well.
Yeah. Well, and I think we're getting that point as someone who's been in this industry for a long time. It's swinging back towards just give me answers. And that's what we talked a lot about. So yeah, in this episode, did I say 23? I think I said 23. Let's say it's 23. We talked with Eric Sun, Matt Hathaway, Nathan Palinoff. He likes Nathan. Yeah, he likes Nathan. That's just the way he is. We talked about RSA. And we talked about what we like, what we didn't. We spent about 20 minutes. We might have made fun of some taglines.
Maybe. Can't imagine.
We might have actually given some kudos to a lot of different vendors out there who had some really cool demos, really cool technologies, some good stuff that we saw overall. We talked about our favorite meals.
Oh.
Did you have a favorite meal?
Yeah, it was sushi on Thursday night.
So Eric said his was sushi as well. I don't think it was Thursday night, but I was a little disappointed and I realized that I actually didn't get any sushi in San Francisco, which seems kind of dumb.
Big fail.
Yeah, big mistake. So,
but a number of us have actually decided to have a Boston sushi night once a month to find the best sushi in Boston.
Should we record Security Nation there?
I don't see why we wouldn't.
A live Security Nation
at
sushi. Awesome. So with that, episode 23. Rachel, thank you.
You are welcome.
I love it. And enjoy.
You're listening to Security Nation with host Kyle Flaherty.
I don't know. Are we not all turning our cameras on?
This is a podcast, not a video.
I don't know how these things work.
There you go. You don't know how these things work? Awesome. So what I wanted to do is get us together to talk about RSA. So it's been a week since we all got back, I think, something like that. So I figure people are doing recaps, talking about it, etc. I, for one, didn't, and Anton Chavakin of Gartner actually beat us to the punch in terms of his blog posts. It was the year of no themes. That being said, for you guys, what were the things that kind of stuck out and kind of rose to the top? And I'll go to our friend in Austin first, since he's remote.
Sure thing. So I thought it was definitely a lot of really aggressive messaging. Like, it's funny because, like, many years ago, like, people were very worried about being, like, you know, about FUD, fear, uncertainty, and doubt. But now, there's more and more vendors being like, you will get breached, or we will stop every breach, and if you don't have us, like, you're going to get breached without us. Like, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it's kind of interesting to see that.
Right.
And I had actually a very good friend of mine was at RSA. He just got hired for a sales role at a security company. Doesn't know anything about security. He got hired like a week before RSA, so he decided to go to RSA. And so kind of getting his like insight from someone who knows nothing about security was he thought everything came off as like super, super funny exactly for like those reasons. And also that he also thought that IoT and AI were like super overblown and everywhere, but I guess that's kind of standard anyway.
Wow, you just like put a softball right into Matt Hathaway's bat. I don't know. Once you mention AI, his just eyes lit up. No one loves AI more than Matt Hathaway.
Oh, I'm such a fan of AI. If only, you know, we're within 10 years of it.
Right. Well, do you think, so I know you love to rip AI, but a new AI?
Oh, Jesus.
Get no, that's not good?
Possible.
Not even Eric thought that was good. But is it AI, and we actually had the discussion at Over Drinks with a friend of mine, yeah, who is in the marketing arena, talking about AI and marketing analytics and stuff like that, and we both kind of ripped him a new one a little bit. But is it 10 years away in security, or do you think that AI as a technology, or are you just annoyed because of all the marketers that are throwing this around?
There's a little of both. I mean, artificial intelligence is a huge space that there are all these researchers working on, you know, the deep learning, all these different angles of it. Machine learning is one small piece, but it's not the true AI where this system just saw something happen.
Right.
It taught itself that that's bad and changed its algorithm. And then the swarm intelligence that we heard of at a different booth of push this out to all the other endpoint agents so that they know now we're not close to that. I mean, machine learning algorithms are being used broadly,
and
that's great.
We all acknowledge that.
Right, as long as they're being focused on the right problem and they're producing valuable results and getting anomaly detection to the right, you know, the right teams, the instant responders. But artificial intelligence is like, that's the next level above, and it's just like people just made the leap like, oh, they're saying machine learning? Well, our machine learning's better. So ours is artificial intelligence. And it's not like just because yours is better doesn't mean it's the next level.
Well, I think it goes back to what Nate was saying in terms of just everything being fuddy. Now I got to be fuddier than the fuddiest.
It is going to be really cool in like 30 years if they do have real artificial intelligence. Like, how cool is that going to be?
Wait, hold on. Nate, what's the most exciting thing you can imagine for artificial intelligence?
Or probably the merging of man and machine into a singularity, Kyle. Okay.
That's not going to happen in 30 years. I hope to be proven wrong, but...
That's just so the Illuminati want you to believe.
Well, I... That was bold.
This is...
Shoutouts to the Illuminati.
Right, hashtag Illuminati.
Glad you're listening.
Right.
I mean, I am a little bit more, I'm excited about the prospects. I know when heading over to RSA, there was this like poker bot. And so it actually plays No Limit Texas Hold'em against human opponents, and it was winning. And so it's really a pretty big breakthrough because it's a game of uncertainty.
Yeah.
And so there's certainly perils with that to security where you don't have all the information. You have to make these assumptions. So I think it's interesting, but certainly that's not what we saw at the floor at RSA in terms of you know, reality.
So what did you see, though, that we're being negative a little bit? Mm-hmm. And I think because combined, we've all been to over probably 30 or so RSAs. Mine... encompassing half of that. I've never seen it as bad in my entire career at this point. But let's shift because there was some good in there. Like what was, you know, for you, Eric, like what was like, oh, that's cool. Like I didn't hear that or I learned that or whatnot.
Well, I think we're seeing, certainly with the established players, they're moving away from, say, monitoring one part of the network. So a lot of companies are now investing in the endpoint when maybe they did some other technology. It's really that whole comprehensive story because they want customers not to have 15 vendors. Clearly, if they can serve multiple avenues, that's great. So I saw a lot of evolution in existing technologies, and I think that's good, and that's what we need.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, the thing that I would say is someone who's the no-haired but would-be gray-haired veteran of the group, there were 680 vendors, but that means there's 680 possible solutions to your problem. Mm-hmm. It's harder to get through it all, for sure, with 42,000 attendees, like... It was as crowded as ever, north, south, like these halls were just insane. But I think there's at least a feeling of people are still willing to figure this problem out together. I think my reticence or my fear is, can we get to that point where we're actually solving enough problems for people before they abandon a lot of these things. But I thought I saw a lot of interesting kind of beyond the FUD, I saw some interesting technologies
I think the FUD was it appeared to me to be heavily on the detection side. I think detection is like, because it's this like, we don't know exactly the right way, everybody has a different approach that people have resorted to, like, we got to make ours stand out with the way we describe it and you know what will grab people's attention. But on the other side, like, what I've noticed, we're finally getting this point that a lot of people don't talk about, is convenience was always a conflict with security. And now when it comes to like, hey, I want to do multi-factor auth and all these other ways to authenticate and validate who this person is, they've become more and more convenient to the point where it's now just assumed when somebody's building that, that this is convenient for the user too. It's just tell them to use it.
Yeah.
And so that's like definitely a positive development, but it's also kind of, that's the one area where I've seen kind of a consolidation. It seems like a reduction in new players there.
Right.
Right? Like you have the old token vendors, then you have the, you know, next gen of two-factor auth and the people that followed. And then you have a few like voice authentication and something like that every year, but it's not like you have 50 new vendors all saying like, oh, that's ancient technology over there.
Yeah, yeah.
It's more like, how do we make it a little easier to implement and use?
Yeah. And that,
well, and it's funny because that's still like two-factor authentication stuff is like, as we saw from, you know, some of the pen testing research we did, is still like one of the most like important things that you can do, and like still very few companies, you know, implement that around everywhere. And I thought it was interesting, like one of, we had a couple talks from our booth at Leon about pen testers, and somebody asked him, you know, how do you get past it when people do have two-factor authentication, or when people even have like biometrics? And his response was that, like, in every single case, like, I doubt that they have two-factor authentication for every single thing that they do. And like, there's always going to be some like random account somewhere that doesn't have it that turns out to have a password for something that does. And so it's interesting that you say that you mentioned that, like, there's not really much new development there, even though that's still like a big challenge that I think a lot of people have, and still one of the most impactful things you can do.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think biometrics is funny because the first time I went to RSA, I was with a company called Miros. I think they're in maybe Waltham or like somewhere here in Massachusetts, and they were face recognition biometrics for logging into your computer. This is 1998.
So my last company I worked at in 2011 had facial, fingerprint, and palm and retina, all of those different, like, they'd merged a bunch of these different biometric technologies.
And none of it's
just a nightmare.
Right. None of it's got false positives, but like all this kind of, or false negatives. It's just a huge challenge, but we've seen those kind of go to the wayside. And I think back to kind of there's more practical, it seems, if you can find them and cut through all the stuff, there's more practical solutions out there. Yeah. You just got to get past the presentations and all of that kind of stuff. It just makes it harder. You know, for those people overall. So, Nate, I didn't ask you specifically. I mean, you were just talking about it, but was there something that was pleasantly surprising that you learned or saw at RSA that got you excited about the market?
I think there was a lot of really cool technology and a lot of cool stuff I saw that's focusing a lot on kind of how attackers think and trying to mimic attackers and that kind of stuff. I mean, that's something that Rapid7's talked about for a long time, but it was cool to see, just like at a glance, like a bunch of booths of like the small companies I walked through, they're really trying to stand, like, you know, in order to defend the network, we can't just like put up these walls and do these, like, we have to understand like how attackers think and what they're trying to do, what they're trying to accomplish. So it was kind of cool to see more of that kind of technology, because that seemed like something that would actually be kind of, you know, innovative and helpful beyond just all the stuff that we talked about like AI and FUD and all that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think if there was going to be I thought it was interesting. One of the recaps I read said that this was I want to see reactions. This was the year of analytics.
This year.
Right. And so, but when you read through it, and this was a practitioner, this wasn't an analyst, this wasn't a vendor, this was just a pure and simple person who does security. The way I read it was, this person is ready to embrace the analytics side now. Like, we had so many years where it was just like, you know, you had to get your house in order. You'd get your vulnerability management. You get all the stuff that you need now you're thinking more of the bigger kind of detection technologies, analytics, machine learnings, and all that stuff. And maybe that gives birth to the AI moniker. But in a way, I think we have to also think that we are growing up with our practitioners, our buyers. They're now at the point where they're actually ready to do this stuff, but too.
That, I mean, I'd love to get like a committee of people and just learn from them, like, okay, so that was the marketing, the big message 3 years ago.
Right.
Now you believe it.
Right.
Is that like a common trend? Is it typically 3 years from when somebody first announced it?
It's a great, yeah.
But that's probably a good way to do it. Because I was going to say, on the flip side, the vendors have now finally, they have to do the housekeeping of have a good UI. Yeah. Make sure that the analytics are actually working. Refine the POC process.
Yep.
And so, yeah, I can certainly understand from the practitioner's point of view, I don't want to be a first mover here. You know, I have so many other things I have to take care of. Let's see the vendors respond. Now there's a lot of competition. Mm. Even like, say, the SIM market has changed a lot.
Yep. Yeah, no doubt about it. What I thought also was interesting about this year in particular, there was no big, you know, celebrity hack, no big... big vuln disclosure, no big, you know, there was nothing, you know, there was no...
I thought I saw an announcement about a live hacking of a voting machine, actually.
Okay, well, that's been done.
Okay.
Right?
But it's still a big stunt hack.
I guess. I mean, was it an actual working voting machine?
I didn't go over.
Oh, all right.
Sorry.
And I don't know if just all of that stuff now is, let's just wait until Black Hat. Could be. Or DEF CON or Derby or whatever it is. But... RSA definitely feels more, it's just more and more buttoned up. It's more and more business oriented, which I don't think is a bad thing, by the way. I think people are literally there to find things and they'll go to Black Hat and Derby and stuff to learn. And that felt, I felt more of that this year, at least, I don't know, than I had in years past. But this was only my second time with Rapid7, so it could just be the industry. Or it could just be us at that point.
I mean, you could feel the 43,000 people, though.
Oh, yeah.
So many.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And if you look at the analysis of people coming into our booth, at least, like, application security, incident detection and response were, like, the two big, big topics coming up. So I think that speaks to where businesses are going.
But I think people definitely have to have their shopping lists or the vendors that they want to visit prior to coming to RSA. There's no way to...
That's a good point.
Learn on the fly there, especially with the levels of the marketing FUD as they
are. Yeah. Right.
And to your own very lengthy write-up internally, 2.5 minutes per booth if you were to spend the entire time on the floor.
Right, all so 25 hours that the floor is open.
You have to have some way to make a checklist. You can't just be like, I'll go to every one.
Right. And there's some that just, you know, I mean, there was... Hey, I've been in those small booths in the back of the show.
Yeah,
and
of course.
It's tough. But it does amaze me, too. Huh? And I think a few of our colleagues who were there for maybe the first or second time remarked, wow, there's still a lot of hardware vendors. Mm. I'm like, yeah, no, there's a lot of, you know, people sell boxes still. Like, it's a big deal.
You were happy to see that.
Oh, man. Packet switches. God, there's nothing.
the bezel.
Nate, I saw some nice bezels. Does Nate know what a bezel is?
I don't know what that means, so I'm just gonna move on.
You're such a software guy, Nate. So
everybody tells him that.
Hey, no, everyone says that. So, in terms of the floor, what did you see that, you know, just from an event standpoint, like what was kind of interesting booth-wise or demo-wise or something that like stood out to you guys?
This is my first time, so I don't know if this is common, but I thought there were definitely a lot of international people there and people from like international government, like real kind of heavy hitters from international LNs as well. And I know RSA is a huge conference, so maybe that's like a stand. That maybe that's pretty common.
No, I forgot, Nate, that this was your first RSA. Because I think the last time the four of us did this podcast was right after Black Hat, and it was your first Black Hat. Mm-hmm. So
my second Black Hat, I think.
Oh, second Black Hat. Okay. Oh, never mind then. You're a vet. No, I think you're right. I think I was surprised. I know that, Matt, you got called into a bunch of meetings, too, for international folks. It did feel heavier than in years past. I think that people are definitely traveling, for sure, from APAC to San Francisco. That makes complete sense. But huge contingents from Germany, you know, I mean, they have that huge booth. Germany has always had that big booth. Israel had a huge booth and presence there. There's just a lot of recruitment going on from a global perspective. I think there was a bigger, it felt more international than it had in years past, for sure. Although I will say, I actually don't find as much government there as I would like it to be. I get it's budget things. I get that it's hard for them to spend the money to go out to San Francisco, although I would imagine it'd be easier to do that than Vegas. But I didn't, at least, and I don't really follow up with maybe our Fed team necessarily, but the DOD, the representatives from that, I didn't see a ton of that overall. I'd love to see that just as a citizen. See more representation.
Yeah. The NSA was there, so it's good to...
They were recruiting.
Yeah.
They're
everywhere.
Right. They're probably in this microphone right now. Yeah. So thanks for triggering that. Yeah. That's awesome. Oh, well. That's another
subscriber.
Another
listener for the podcast.
Now we're up to 9.
Yes.
Yes.
Double digits next.
Two people not named Flaherty. So I think that was good. What else comes to mind for RSA?
Randomly, I thought it was really cool to see a couple of startups that started in Belfast while I was over there.
Okay.
And like just seeing them show up there. And it's like, oh,
yeah,
they've come along because it was InfoSec Europe. And then 2 years later, they found a way to afford
that was like
them.
The minor leagues. And now they're in the big leagues.
It's also local.
I think that's great.
It was pretty cool.
Okay. Well, and that plays into the international flair.
Yeah.
And I do wonder how much innovation we're going to see. Obviously, Israel's always had a huge kind of contingent for cyber. There's been pockets in Asia. There's been other pockets in Europe. But I feel like we're going to see more and more of foreign companies come in and really displace folks, which I think is a good thing. Innovation is great.
New approaches, yeah.
Well, especially with the differences in privacy policy. I mean, all of us have heard a lot about GDPR from our shout out to Sam Humphries. I think that that's probably driving a lot of these things as well. So I think that's not a bad thing. Best giveaway? Did you guys have any chances to get tchotchkes?
I did see that one. This friend of mine that was there, he sent me a video of those. I didn't get to find it, but there was a booth where I think they did like virtual routers. So you got to take a sledgehammer and like smash routers in their booth. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, they love doing that. The creepiest thing that I think happens, and this just as a marketer, the room drops. I don't know if you guys like would go into your hotel room and like there was like stuff in it.
Yeah.
That suggest that, please, you guys, like stop me.
I volunteer.
It's freaky. Like you get into your room and you're like, oh, someone from X vendor, like a marketing person, was in my room dropping this like Lego guy off or whatever.
The hotel.
If we could get in your
room.
Due to your network.
It's I've been involved with these before. It's the marketing coordinator walks around with the hotel staff and goes in.
I see.
Oh, yeah. They don't do the work for you.
Okay. So they go through stuff together.
Right, exactly. Okay. I don't even care about my stuff. Like, what are you going to find? Like, all my extra shirts that say Rapid 7 on it. But, like, those, I just don't find them very effective overall. Although one was a Nerf gun or a Nerf bullet, and then you went to the booth. I forget who it is. I'm sorry, vendor. Because I actually would give you a shout-out if I remember who it was.
Is that the like two-handed Nerf gun?
They had the big one, and they had a target. They basically had a target like a firing range in their booth.
Yeah.
And depending on where you hit, you could get a prize or whatever. But my kids thought that was really cool. I didn't remember the brand, but I did remember that overall. And I do think to continue on the annoying marketing vent, this was the year of like bringing a vehicle in. Like an Airstream or a bus, or I've never seen.
Or an RV for cooking meth.
Right, or yes.
Apparently.
Yes. That's an interesting one.
It was implied, right? Like,
I think.
Just me?
It said in the back, it said like cook it, or it had something of like hot cook or whatever it was. Yeah. I think that's an interesting approach.
I did see probably the best t-shirt I've ever seen at the conference, which was a guy walking around with a t-shirt that just said, I do not have spending authority.
Yes, I saw that too.
Yeah,
that was great.
Yeah, he actually, I believe. Oh man, I forget who it was. I'll have to do it in the intro because I found his Twitter feed. I think he's with Sands or he's definitely a well-known person in our industry. And shame on me for not remembering his name. But his Twitter feed was just like full of him taking pictures with people at their different booths because every single person loved it.
Yeah.
And the irony is he probably has spending authority, but why not wear that overall? So our t-shirts weren't your favorite, Nate?
Well, I mean, apart from our t-shirts.
Of course, right. Which my kids loved. I brought them back for them overall. All right. We've been talking for 20 minutes about RSA. I mean, that's a good amount of time, I think. We all had fun at the Rapid 7 party.
Of course.
Yeah, absolutely.
Eric loved it.
Wonderful.
Right. Transformer. I didn't even see him. We had Transformer and Vogue.
Yeah. Who doesn't love En Vogue? Do you guys know who En Vogue is?
Nate was... This is the thing I love about Nate. I was sitting with him for a while at the party because he wanted to socialize with me, unlike you guys. Nate knows his old school music. He's like... Yeah. He is a... For some reason...
He's very old at heart.
He knows every song that I know. I think there was... We were belting out some Bon Jovi at one point.
I'm not a big fan of what the kids call the hip-hop nowadays, but I do like the more old-school things.
You do. That's good. I like that. Anyone have a really good meal in San Francisco?
We had a good sushi place. I'm trying to struggle what it was called.
I heard near you got your hotel, there was a place called Sushi Tony that everyone was talking about. Mm. I don't know.
Well, the thing with San Francisco is there's an excellent sushi restaurant on literally every corner. Like, it's kind of awesome.
Yeah, that's true.
How was the bacon wrapped sausage that we got?
So it was basically a hot dog, bacon wrapped around it, and then deep fried.
Okay.
And then with a side of nice barbecue sauce.
Yeah, it was good. Okay. It was good. Yeah. That was good. We should give a shout out to which one was it?
Michler Bar.
Who our other colleague Zach Leahy loves that place because they actually list the temperature of the beer. It's going to be served at the right temperature.
These are 45. These are 55.
Nate, do you have anything to say about Zach and beer?
For all of our loyal listeners, Zach Leahy brought his own beer to our party that had an open bar. So I just want to throw that out there. Anybody that's listening.
Well, this will be the key. Just like I leave
if
a little.
If you see Zach Leahy in the street, make sure to go up to him and point and laugh at him.
And this will be the way that we see if Zach actually listens to the podcast. Yeah. Just like I put little nuggets at the end of my trip report to see if anybody actually reads to the end. And so that's a good thing. All right. RSA is done. Now on to... On to the next one.
Infosec.
Well, we have Gartner. InfoSec, Black Hat, and then actually this year Rapid 7 will be doing a bunch of lunch and learns in different cities. In fact, Matt,
Florida next week.
You'll be in Florida next week. So if you're in Florida and you want to hear about Rapid 7, Tampa and Orlando. Awesome. So he will be there with Mickey Mouse?
No
Mickey Mouse.
He couldn't make it.
That's too bad. That's
I mean, I only want the real Mickey Mouse.
Of course.
There's
right,
no
right.
imposter.
Right. No Goofy, for sure. Excellent. All right. Then that's it. Pew pew. Signing off. Nate, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
Later, brother.
Happy to be here.
All right. Bye-bye.